Well, Abdul's commercials are running now, and his lawn signs are everywhere, but they're thin, like his resume. Paper thin. Let me explain.
Became a doctor to help people.
He's not a real doctor, he's a paper doctor. He doesn't have a license, never had a patient. He can't even give away aspirin off an ambulance.
He rebuilt the health department after the politicians tore it down.
As far as I could tell, he's only had two real jobs in his life. First, he stopped here in the city of Detroit, had a quick cup of coffee as the city health director. While there, money through his department was funneled into the pet program of Mayor Mike Duggan's mistress, one designed to reduce infant mortality.
This is a terrible situation.
And after just 16 months on the job, Abdul got gone. The Duggan mistress scandal exploded after he tried to destroy the evidence, and infant mortality, it went through the roof.
I have to choose between protecting the interests of the city or protecting my family.
That's the Abdul way, baby.
A couple years later, he gets the top medical gig with Wayne County.
Got thousands of glasses for kids, including me.
Yeah, glasses with Biden bucks. That's not a fix. Nothing really got fixed in Abdul's 2 years here in Wayne County. In fact, life expectancy in Detroit, Wayne County's biggest city, is plummeting.
Medicare for All would be the de facto insurer for everybody.
Medicare for All? Like Canada? It's so bad over there, they come here for a doctor. Medicare for All. Come on, man. Time to stop talking and start working.
Live from downtown Detroit, it's the No Bullshit News Hour with my main man, Charlie Liddell and Karen Dubitz.
It's just a breaking news. Double or bullshit. Double or bullshit.
Is this the hole in one?
It's a hole in one, $50,000 if you hit it.
Luke Nowacki, Financial Wealth Management. What is 50 grand after tax?
37,750.
What about state tax?
Yeah, that's, I'm talking, throwing both in there.
What about state sales federal tax?
There's no sales tax.
Well, you're buying the beer.
It's income.
You'll buy the beer.
Eh, we write that off.
Luke Nowacki, Financial Wealth Management.
248-663-4748.
Well, you know, when it rains, the power goes out. And when the power goes out, the internet goes out. When the internet goes out, I call my friend Matt and Bernie at XG Service Group. Look at Bernie here on his hands and knees, giving it everything he's got. Look at that man crack. So busy. He forgot to wear a belt. There's Matt right there getting the board together. That's 734-245-4100 if you need Matt and Bernie to come take care of your voice over internet, your security cameras, off-campus access control, Wi-Fi, and cameras for homes and business. They'll design it for you. You got restaurants, they do drive-through systems, railroad cameras for public safety, total wireless camera systems for your home and business. Yeah, that's right. Call XG Services at 734-245-4100. Come on. Come on in. Zoom it in, Mark. Well, you're doing it. Like, I was talking to a city worker, supervisor, and I won't mention his name or his department, and the scuttlebutt going around with the workers is maybe layoffs, maybe cuts. And he said to me, I've been meaning to call Luke Nowacki. I got to protect my nest egg. And I encouraged him, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, do it now.
Yeah, or the new thing too is when you get to a certain age and maybe start needing money that you invested like that, you never know how much to pull out.
No,
right? I don't. It's kind of frightening, but it's nice to have Luke hold your hand.
I won't say how many years the man has on the job. He's very vindictive down here, but you know, wants to retire and then find another gig for the last 10 years and
yep,
you know,
yeah, semi-retirement. I get it.
Yeah. So Luke Nowacki, 248-663-4748. Now, let me tell you a story. A cop recently told me about a call he got from a rich white dude complaining about a suspicious black dude roaming around his neighborhood. Now, cops hate those kind of calls. Puts them in a bad spot. But cops have to respond to calls. So he did. Turned out the black guy was an Amazon driver. And naturally, the white man had a sign in his yard that read, Black Lives Matter. And now there's a new sign on the white guy's lawn. Abdul for U.S. Senate. Now, Dr. Abdul El-Sayed is running on a platform of good union jobs, money out of politics, and Medicare for all. Okay, cool. I mean, but I don't understand the attraction here. It's doubtful the rich white guy ever worked in a factory or has to worry about his medical bills. Let's call it virtue signaling for virtue's sake. Takes the sting out of white privilege. For you workday humps who'd like to know something about the candidate beyond the slick 30-second commercials, it's worth noting that El-Sayed never worked in a factory, and aside from some part-time gigs at various colleges, his resume's thin, very thin. The first thing you know, need to know is that El-Sayed is a paper doctor, as you just saw. He's never treated a patient, is not licensed in Michigan, and can't even prescribe aspirin to a dog. He's never passed his board exams. The second thing you know need to know is that El-Sayed, who's 41, has worked just two real jobs in his adult life, totaling less than 4 years, according to his own resume. I took out little college gigs, and he lists as a job he ran for governor in 2018.
It's not a job.
And then this is the guy who wants to be a senator for life. Now, what's troubling here is he where he worked and what he actually accomplished, because I was here. Now, I've been here since 2008. I got a good memory. Abdul was appointed as the top public health official in Detroit and then Wayne County. Both departments are an historical quagmire of corruption and incompetence. Believe me, I know. I helped put one director behind bars for, among other things, embezzling public health dollars to pay for his hair plugs, which didn't take. Now, for his part, El-Sayed was appointed as Duggan's health director in 2015 by then Mayor Mike Duggan. At that time, as the city was emerging from its historic bankruptcy, El-Sayed's health department was funneling hundreds of thousands of dollars into a pet program run by Duggan's mistress. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
The program was supposed to lower infant mortality rates in the city. Now, after just 16 months on the job, quick cup of coffee. He says he rebuilt the health department that was privatized before bankruptcy. To be specific, he was hired a year after the health department was reinstated. He hung out for less than a year and a half, and then he resigned to run for governor. It's called a quick cup of coffee. Then Mr. Skate exploded. Duggan tried to delete all the evidence. And guess what happened with infant mortality?
Uh-oh.
Skyrocketed. In fact, in the 10 years since Sayed took the job, infant mortality in Detroit is higher. What accomplishment? Nothing changed. Now, to El-Sayed's credit, before resigning as health director, he commissioned a report that showed Duggan's demolition blitz was poisoning the city's children. That program, Duggan's demolition blitz, is now the subject of a sprawling FBI investigation. However, El-Sayed, the candidate, has said little to nothing about it. Now, a couple of years and a couple of more coffees later, El-Sayed was appointed in 2023 as the medical chief of Wayne County. Now, according to his own campaign commercial, El-Sayed's biggest accomplishment was a partnership with a nonprofit that supplied 16,000 eyeglasses to needy children. What the commercial does not tell you is that the nonprofit had existed for a decade beforehand, and that the county's portion for the eyeglasses was funded primarily by Biden's COVID bucks. One-time inflationary federal dollars printed out of nowhere is no solution to a health crisis. That's not a resume. That is just taking one-time federal dollars, spending it, and taking some useless credit. All the while, life expectancy in Detroit continues to crater from pre-pandemic levels, hovering around 70 years old. It was 72. This is not a good health system, and it's hardly an effective record. There's also serious questions about El-Sayed's campaign finance problems, including indications of straw donors, actual contributors blowing past legal limits, and a super PAC that's committed to spending millions of dollars on his behalf. And right now, about half of that funding for this super PAC that he wants to take money out of politics, half the money raised so far is from his daddy-in-law.
Hmm. Who's his dad-in-law?
The father of his wife. I don't know. I didn't write it down.
Why's he got such an interest?
Working people.
Yeah, exactly.
Medicare for all. Okay. Then there are the disturbing questions regarding the mental fitness of those he surrounds himself with, including a former staffer charged with terrorism, a current staffer who says that all white women are racist, and ironically, that staffer herself is a white woman, but she's not a racist because she's oppressed. And then the prominent podcaster who once said America deserved 9/11. I was there 25 years ago. I don't think a mass murder of secretaries is deserved. Have you been around in life and saw one of these women's head impaled on a girder? Maybe you wouldn't think that way, but it's real easy to talk. And in fact, you like to talk with your thumbs, and you deleted 3 years of social media, interestingly, from the start of the pandemic and the summer of Floyd all the way to 2023, the end of the pandemic, when you start working at the county. And what did you delete? Cops are a standing army, fascism, border patrol agents are white supremacists.
The usual post-Floyd tropes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, if you'd spent any time in the world instead of the marbled halls of Columbia University, you might know that the vast majority of border patrol agents are Latinos. Fucking A, but these are all stories for another day. So, go ahead. It's cool. It's America. And plant your yard signs, rich white guy. It's your right. Just remember, you reap what you sow.
He's got a ton of yard signs out there right now, too. I'm around where I live.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was talking with Ken about it. You know, there's none in Detroit, really. And there's none in Hamtramck. And Ken said, well, maybe he's far ahead in these areas, and that the battlegrounds, right?
Yeah.
For the rich white guy, the virtue signaling, the white women.
Yeah.
Right?
Southern Oakland County.
Yeah, that's the split, because, you know, maybe you can pull some stuff from Haley Stevens, Mallory McMurrow. You know, maybe that's it. I thought it was an interesting point. I'm not into politics like that.
Is he leading right now for the Democrats? Is he is he on top? Is it Stevens? Do you have any idea? I don't know.
Some polls. Like, you know, it's...
Because I got to tell you, I don't know anything about any of them, really. Very little.
Yeah.
Other than what they put out there, which is why I like the piece. And I just wonder if he gets votes because he is pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel.
Probably the...
Or simply if he's because he's a guy.
The very active wing of the Democratic Party.
That's what I hate about primaries.
Way left, right?
Yeah.
And you see everybody's got to pander to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you come back to the middle? Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't know about polls. They're, you know, all the ones we're getting around here are wrong.
Sure.
Hillary was supposed to win Michigan. Kamala was supposed to win Michigan. It didn't happen. So I don't know. You know, just we're going to inform people.
It's just funny to me. He seems like the flavor of the month almost. You know?
Yeah, but you know, some people say, yeah, he wins. 2 years from now, he runs for president.
I don't see that happening.
You know, and I don't get it. Like, if you look at Mom Dami in New York, right? If landlords don't keep up their buildings and we keep hitting you with fines and you don't make improvements, we're gonna take the building from you and the city's gonna manage it. I spent a lot of years in New York. Do you know there's something called the New York City Housing Authority?
I would assume so.
Do you know they have a housing department?
Yeah.
The big housing projects like the Brewsters used to be or Cabrini Green used to be
projects,
that don't work.
Section 8s, yeah.
The failed experiments of like putting people in towers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very
New
dense.
York still has one. And I used to live in Queens in Astoria, near Astoria is Long Island City, and it's the Queens Bridge projects, notoriously fetid. Boilers breaking down, vermin, air conditioning breaking down. It's like horrible. New York City can't manage what it has.
It's a repackaged slum, right?
It is a slum.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know, and run by
a bunch of people together tightly in poor conditions. What do you expect?
Yeah, and we need affordable housing. Exactly. Where's the sensibility in anything?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why it's not to go off topic too much, but it's interesting to see that bipartisan housing bill pass. I don't know if it'll do anything, maybe because I'm skeptical, but
what's it about?
So it's limiting, and it passed, 95-5 in the Senate. Excuse me. And it limits Wall Street's, the hedge funds buying up a bunch of houses.
How regular housing stuff.
Which that just seems obvious, right? That's common sense. Mm-hmm. Now, I think there's always a loophole and a way around it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But the whole idea is to make these houses more affordable. Well, if they're more people are going to buy them, that price is going to go up too. But it's making more houses on the market. It's also cutting bureaucracy to build new homes, which I think a lot of home builders will appreciate.
Yeah, well, you want competition. People want houses, then they're actually having them. If you take Wall Street out of it, well, then that dips the competition and the price goes down, and let real people have a shot at it.
Yeah, it seemed sensible.
I'm so for it. And
I was just shocked when I saw it.
Don't forget the repealing, and this was led by Bill Clinton and the Democrats, right? Yep. Rubin, yep. Secretary of Treasury Rubin, to repeal Glass-Steagall.
Mm-hmm.
Capital minimums in the bank, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Low income loans to get people into houses. Wall Street took over. We got the synthetic derivatives. It blew up the world economy.
Yep.
We never put Glass-Steagall back. We never got Wall Street under control. Nobody ever went to prison. Again, that's just a middle of the road fucking thing.
I know.
So instead of fixing that, you know what I mean? We're going to try to end run it and find government housing, fix the market's been skewed.
Yeah.
By big business, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Money and politics, indeed, which the Supreme Court said is legal, right? And big government. They screwed it all up.
Clearly.
Like Obamacare.
Yeah.
It's a disaster. Obamacare, there are now more people without insurance than before Obamacare. Prices have gone through the roof. Why? Because they mandated that insurance companies make you buy all kinds of crazy shit,
mm-hmm.
like a list of 10. In the old days, you could just buy doctor visit and cataclysmic, right? That's what most people did. Now, like you and I, we have to buy maternity care.
Yeah. It's all rolled into our
premiums. I don't have kids. I can't. I'm sorry what the far left says. I can't have kids.
All I know is that I'm getting priced out of insurance.
Yeah. Okay. It goes like this. Big government decides we're going to do this. The very poor, Medicaid, it's great. You don't pay anything.
Yeah.
You don't pay. You got to wait. There's not a lot of doctors that want to, take the lower rates of Medicaid. So there's a very thin amount. Same with Obamacare. Okay, but for the middle class that used to pay for all this, they're the ones being priced out.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they left a loophole in there. There's a profit cap for insurance companies. Okay, if the cost of everything was $900, right? They're allowed to tack on $100, let's say 10%. It's a 10% profit cap. So it's in the interest of the insurance company to let costs run wild, mm-hmm. because if it costs $2,000 now for everything, they get $200. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
100%. Then they did this. Let's mess with your deductible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So high deductible, call it $7,500. You're paying $1,000 a month, right? For your premium. It's more than that.
What is this policy? Can I get on it?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's my biggest expense every month is healthcare premiums.
Yes.
And my deductible is
more than your mortgage?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
About 50% more than my mortgage.
Wow.
It's all, and you know what? It pays for nothing. And
what's your deductible?
My deductible is, you want to figure out what my mortgage is?
No.
It's about $1,500 a month.
Your deductible.
My deductible. I'm sorry. Yeah. That was my premium. Deductible is about $7,800.
Yeah, they skyrocketed.
Yeah, I've never, thankfully, never hit it. I don't ever want to hit my deductible because I mean something terrible had happened to me.
But that's what comes first. So this is what the insurance company
But it's did. Still cheaper to buy meds with, you know, my Costco membership than it is running it through my insurance. So that never comes off the deductible either. I don't know what I'm paying for at this point. I'm paying for, I guess, if I ever get hit by a bus or something.
Exactly.
You know?
So, but you can't just buy cataclysmic now.
No.
It's the law.
Going back to what you were saying, yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So the deductible keeps going up. Why? So the insurance company doesn't have to do the administrative work to get the claim.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's saving you money right off the rip. And two, you're paying premiums while you're paying for the low-level health care. Anything under $7,500. So... When big government, oh, and by the way,
but I
you want to know another mechanism how Obamacare is funded? By the way, it's deficit funded.
Mm.
Student loans, the government got into, right? Student loans. Inflated the.
A lot of them.
Yeah, in most of them. You can still get them from the bank, but it's primarily through the federal government. Our kids are taking out these outrageous loans at high interest rates. Part of the interest rate goes to pay for Obamacare. So our kids can't afford insurance. They take out a fuckload of money to go to college to get a worthless degree. And then they're paying for everybody else. The young, we totally fucked them.
Yeah.
And I understand why they're angry. I really do. And it's got to be fixed.
Well, I'm old and I'm angry. I mean, there seems to be a lot of focus on, there's a lot of focus on people without means. Absolutely. That's kind of what government to me is supposed to be about, right?
Yeah.
Leveling the playing field. But there also seems to be a lot of worry about people that have a lot of means. And I'm like, what about me in the middle here?
Right? The one getting fucked.
Like I thought I was making
the one getting fucked.
It's making a pretty decent amount of money, but why do I feel like I'm living scraping paycheck to paycheck at age 50? It's just
because you are.
But on my
this is supposed to be the old days of America, right?
Yeah.
When big business was under control, big banks weren't so big,
yeah.
Government wasn't so huge, everybody got their fingers in it. This was supposed to be the time. Everything 50 and over, you're stacking. Like, mm-hmm. you got it, you got your house, your kids are gone, you know what I mean? And you're stacking to be old. It's not like that now.
No, not at all. I mean, talk to anybody that's on, a fixed income, right? The biggest worry for old people is outliving their money.
That's a yeah.
I mean,
and what are we going to do?
Okay. Why am I thinking about that at age 50? I don't feel like I should, but I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
So what do we get? Like laissez-faire capitalism, or government grocery stores?
Yeah.
Neither of those are the answer.
No, and you're referring to Mondami's government-run grocery store.
Not just Mondami. I mean, it's been tried many times.
Has it really?
I'm just saying, like, the whole socialist deal doesn't work. And El Sayed should know it because...
Well, I think that's why he's popular, too, is he's very...
Give me something. I'm dying out here. Okay, but the response is not honest, and it won't work. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. Who was chairman of the Senate Budget Committee under Biden?
Oh, God, I have no idea.
Bernie Sanders.
Okay.
Did anything structural get changed? No.
No.
What did we do? Printed a bunch of money.
Mm.
There was no structural reset, no Glass-Steagall coming back in, no breaking up the big banks. You know, that's not socialist. That's capitalistic. All we did was print money. Everything went through the roof. And now we're talking about a barrel of crude oil today is about $70 with the Iran shit going on.
Yeah.
Adjusted for inflation. Through his whole 4 years, Biden's whole 4 years, adjusted for inflation, the average cost for a barrel of crude was nearly 90. And I didn't see CNN putting up a gas ticker.
Sure.
And the reason was you were hostile to energy, that administration, and you printed too much money.
Well, they were hostile towards old energy.
Huh?
Hostile towards old energy, fossil fuels.
Yeah, coal. Which is, you asked me before the show, like, why the UAW would endorse
El Sayed,
El Sayed when he's on record as saying he wants to abolish the internal combustion engine, which is more efficient, we're finding out, than electric cars.
Dumbfounded by that when they endorsed them. It made no sense to me, but.
Well, things have changed. So here you go, folks. This is from memory, okay? So you do your own research, but the UAW's changed. In the UAW, about their membership, 100,000 are auto workers, okay? 100,000 auto workers in the UAW. 130,000 members of the UAW are academics, teaching assistants, grad students. Okay. That's where they went to get membership and keep alive. So there's more pinheads.
Which I get. I get why you need to add members to survive.
Because you're a business. Right? Yeah, you need dues. Yeah, we got bills to pay.
Totally get it.
Okay. And then maybe 100,000 are bureaucrats, public service workers. So by a 2-to-1 margin, auto workers are outnumbered by university pinheads and big government bureaucrats.
Wow.
Exactly where El Sayed comes from. I bet you that the rank and file auto worker probably went for Haley Stevens,
yeah,
who was Obama's point person, chief of staff on the auto bailouts. Yep. So it's not what it looks like.
I feel just like it's chase the money, follow the money game. Who can do more for us?
That's why these podcasts, they're good, because they could get information out there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, thank you all for, tuning in. Try to take care of yourself. This is what's going on. It's like, who was I talking to? Doesn't matter who I was talking to, but you really got to blame the media for a lot of this, because, even in the old days, it had a bent to it, but it tried to be honest and it would look into all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't do that anymore. You know what I mean? We just don't. We pick a side and we go. Like another one.
Well, it's also easier to just parrot what these people want you to parrot, so you can put out 170 or whatever it is now, 240 character statement.
It's amazing to me.
It's not real. It's not real.
Obamacare was sold to us. It was going to bring down medical inflation back then.
Mm-hmm.
And all it really was a move to take money from the middle class, pay for the lower classes. I don't want to say lower class, poorer.
Yeah.
And now you fuck the people that went along with you. And now we have mayhem.
I know it all too well.
I do too.
It's funny. Did I ever tell you the story about going to Puerto Rico and I had to take my daughter to the hospital there? I don't know if I shared that or not. This is just back in March when we were down there, and she was around 104 fever for 5 days. So I'm like, we got to do something. The hotel doctor wouldn't come. So it's like, okay. So I'm kind of trying to research online what it is. And they're basically like, just take her to the hospital because their insurance works differently down there. There's no urgent care. There's no nothing. So I go to the hospital, spend a few hours there. Thankfully she's okay. They give her a shot, a steroid. She feels better. It's great. Checking out. I'm like, do I get a bill? Am I discharged? What am I doing here? And they're like, nah, just leave. So I've been waiting to figure if I get a bill. I finally got a bill for a hospital visit in Puerto Rico. No insurance or anything. $180. $180. For me to go to the hospital here, I have to immediately pay $250 on the copay.
Right.
Plus whatever it is before my deductible.
Yeah.
It's like, how can that be so... Now, I feel like the care was better up here because they missed a few things down there, but it's just that variance of price was just mind-boggling.
Well, we'd have to look into it.
Yeah.
Puerto Rico is a territory of the United States, or heavily subsidized by the United States. I don't know.
Believe me, I don't want their medical system, having experienced it, but I was just surprised at how far off the money was.
There's no way in God's green earth medical care should cost this much in this country. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Medicare for all, ask the Canadians. That thing is cratered.
Yeah.
We need a redo.
Yeah.
At the very least, let's go back before Obamacare. It's too late. Big business and big government are in bed.
Yeah.
here's what for
you.
Now
you're depressing me.
Well, I'm sorry, but here
you
go.
I know.
Believe me, we'll look into other candidates. Another thing in the campaign literature of El Sayed is we managed to forgive $700 million in medical debt.
Okay.
In Wayne County.
Seems like a good thing.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Seven, how did you do that?
Paid for that?
Okay. First of all, they go through a nonprofit. It's either you can do the nonprofit. Like, you know, when your debt is purchased by a debt collection agency, yeah, they buy it for pennies on the dollar. Mm-hmm. 1 penny on the dollar. 1%.
Yeah, they're taking the risk they're going to be able to get the money from.
Right. Like, so, you know, so they buy it for nothing, whatever they get. If they can scare you into 50%, good for them, mm-hmm, you know. So what the county's simply doing is using a nonprofit.
Okay.
Who buys the debt at 1%.
Wow.
So 700 million, what's 1% of 700 million?
Seven million. Yeah.
Okay. Now, 5 million of that were the Biden bucks. It was just a print the money, here you go, right? That was given to the nonprofit because all the Biden bucks got to be spent by the end of this year.
Sure.
So they haven't spent it. It's sitting there and probably over a couple of years, I have very good faith that they will spend it properly.
Sure.
The other 2 million, okay, is the county's indigent fund. We all, on our property taxes stuff, little nickel over, mm-hmm, here and there, 2 million bucks for the indigent medical care. That's now going to go to pay these old bills. But what that means is we took $2 million from current indigent people getting medical care, and they're going to be funded $2 million less. Get what I'm saying?
Yeah, which...
For instance, my friend Red,
yeah,
who had all kinds of difficulties trying to pay for a catastrophic injury, can't work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So $2 million less.
Which makes me feel like it's going to lead to more debt, right?
Yeah, at least less healthy.
Which will have to be paid off. It's almost like a circle.
Yeah, so this was no solution.
Oh, God.
Which, the reason I bring that up is because Whitmer did it yesterday.
Oh,
Whitmer, another $74 million to go with the $140 million last year of debt forgiveness. My gift to you. Okay, $74 million is $704,000. Okay?
Okay.
At 1%.
1%, yeah.
Whitmer didn't do that. The legislature did that. They set the budget. They vote on it. They control the purse strings. It's bullshit. It's not a fix.
Well, a good politician, someone that always takes credit for what was done by other people.
So we go back like to Elsa, the white dude, the rich guy with the lawn sign. I really like them. This is really amazing what they're doing. They're not doing shit. You didn't rebuild any health system. I think Red's getting out.
Really? That's great.
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday. He sounded good.
Yeah.
And he was laughing.
Good.
I think he was in court today for some procedural shit on the guy that ran him over. So let me see.
Hmm.
So Red's now moving into his ex's house. You know, I mean, what's the solution here?
Yeah.
Nobody's addressing all the fraud.
Well, my thought is he's going to be just drowning in debt now. Are they going to try and collect?
How about the Turkish guy, the guy that picked up in Turkey, like $4 billion in Medicaid fraud?
Oh, yeah.
How about all the hospice fraud?
Please leave your message for 2.
Yeah, no, that's
in court.
There's a lot of money in insurance. Just never seems to go where it's supposed to.
Yeah, but like the government program's for us. It's for us. It's for my friend Red. It's for my dying mom. And we're struggling to find it. And we're doing all of this nonsense. Mm-hmm. We're not looking after anything. No. Mm. No. Our people first. Right?
Yeah.
Crazy. Okay. Might as well say this. There's a saying here at the American Coney Island. What's the back of his shirt say? This made in Detroit shirt.
You don't win friends with sad lid. You don't win friends with sad lid.
You don't win friends with sad lids. You don't. Which is ironic.
It's kind of true.
Yeah, but what's ironic is the salads here at the American really Coney Island are unfreaking believable.
Yeah, but you're supposed to eat a Coney with them.
Yeah, okay, fine. I'm riffing on the salad.
All right.
I mean, just to let you know, like gourmet olives. Fresh feta cheese.
Nice.
The lettuce is crisp. You can get the gyro.
What kind of lettuce is it?
Huh?
What kind of lettuce?
Romaine.
Nice, better.
Yeah, chopped fresh.
Iceberg.
Daily.
Good.
I mean, just that.
This. I'm very picky about
it. It's a wonderland over here at the corner of Michigan Avenue and Lafayette, the big slice of pie, red, white, and blue building, American Coney Island, since 1917.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking of Detroit health and all this, this demolition shit is why the feds. Yep. They're everywhere making calls, and the scuttlebutt is Mayor Mary Sheffield's got some real problems, because remember, even though she lied to us, she was sleeping with Loverboy, who poisoned the city while voting on contracts, and this guy didn't have construction insurance on like 10 consecutive jobs of like 1,000 houses, maybe.
How does that happen?
How does that happen?
How is there nobody overseeing that?
Right. And now all the subcontractors are in line and never got paid. Like, the feds are all in this shit.
I mean, you get work done at your house, and most contractors I know are like, yep, nope, gotta have it licensed and bonded, and here's proof of it before I'm doing any work.
So is this tens of thousands of houses?
Yeah. Oof.
Now, you know, we know for a fact that a lot, and it's bad, dude. It's badly contaminated. It's got heavy metals in it. It's basically ground up highways. That's what they're doing. Imagine breathing in highway dust. Okay. It's supposed to go to special landfill. That shit's so toxic. That's why it matters. They dumped it in Detroit. They dug it out. They tested it. Too hot to handle. Causes cancer, brain damage, you name it. And the Office of Inspector General and the FBI is looking into this. I know from very, very solid sources. Some of it came from that Northland development site.
Yeah.
And as we reported, they moved these big piles and they took the big cement pieces out of it, right? So now the piles are to the north of the site near the hospital and the daycare center.
Yeah.
And the big pieces of cement they pulled out are now in a little mountain. And now when you pull up and you look at this little mountain of cement, you go like this. That's a fucking highway.
Yeah.
Holy fucking shit. So some of the soil there, like, again, I don't have any analytics and stuff, right? I'm trying to get the analytics. I'm getting stonewalled by the state. But some of the soil there is being sifted and sold as topsoil.
What? Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I call Eagle, the Department of Energy, Great Lakes and Environment.
And they're supposed to be looking over it, right?
They're supposed
they're
to
be. The watchdog.
Well, we're going to give jurisdiction to the city. But what if the city... Like Detroit.
They have an incentive not to.
I don't want to call them corrupt. We'll let that happen. But you're supposed to be looking out for us.
Yeah.
The EPA?
Yeah.
Nothing. The health departments? City of Detroit? El Sayed's thing? Nothing. No Sayed himself. No Tannehar. No Tlaib. No Gary Peters. No Slotkin. No Whitmer. Why? Everybody now knows. Duggan took a big... pratfall. He's out. Everybody knows what's going on. Yeah. And nobody's trying to protect us.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, that doesn't make any sense as to why. They don't owe Duggan anything. They don't owe him any protection anymore.
Well, look, man, this thing's so massive. Yeah, they're all protecting each other.
Yeah, good
point. Big government again.
Yeah.
To me, it doesn't work, man. If you got even a whiff of this, you're coming out publicly. Let's get to the bottom of it. Nothing.
Well, and as you pointed out, to clean it up, it's going to be a massive amount of money.
You know, when you FOIA something, Freedom of Information Act, they got 3 weeks to get you the info. Okay? The MEDC, Michigan Economic Development Corp, right? The coffee pot people, right?
Yeah.
They said, we found 250 pages of documents. It'd take us about 3 hours, 2.5 hours to go over them, redact what needs to be done. Cost you $105. Said, okay, here's the $105. We'll get back to you in four months. 4 months? You've got 3 weeks.
Why does it take that long? Yeah.
That's illegal.
Yeah.
But guess who's holding their feet to the fire? Nobody. Yeah. And I have a lawsuit against the state. You're not allowed to do that. Nobody joining me on my lawsuit. I'll do it, people. Fuck it. I'll do it.
Good.
I'll do it. Oh, by the way, so Whitmer, the Gordie Howe Bridge.
Yeah.
This was in my Whitmer part there with her $74 million, but I digressed out of there. We're going to have an unveiling. Everybody's coming. Snyder's coming. Whitmer's coming. The Premier of Canada's coming. We're going to open the bridge. We're not going to open the bridge. Man, that looked stupid. Chris Long, the AI guy, he made a little something here. Let's look at what he did.
President Trump just called. The bridge is not opening today.
Whitmer's legacy. Failure. This is AI generated political ad not paid for by any candidate or candidate committee, not authorized by any candidate. For legal reasons, this is considered parody and satire for entertainment purposes only. This was created by Chris Long.
I got to get together with that guy and figure out
how to really make good work. AIs, yeah. Right?
Do you write the script? Does it write the script? Do you prompt it? What, you know, what do you talk? Do you type?
If I know which one he uses to.
Yeah, oh, there you go. There you go.
And how much he's killed Celine by doing it.
What do you mean?
Well, just AI takes up a lot of energy. Yeah, yeah.
Every time you ask Google a question, you're killing Celine. You're
killing Celine, yeah.
That's okay.
It's a tricky situation.
That's okay, because Jocelyn Benson and her husband are going to make tens and 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 tens of millions of dollars on it.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband is the chief lobbyist for that thing.
And like Whitmer said, what was the quote when she was caught on the hot mic? Something, I'm going to paraphrase here, that they tell us not to do something, but we fucking do it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck these clouds.
Yeah.
Right? They're believing.
That's politicians, man.
They're believing the press releases and whatever the mainstream media is telling them. And we got this. Fucking crazy. Jocelyn Benson's husband, the lead on this Celine deal. You know what he did?
Well, yeah, I was just going to ask you, what is he? What is his background?
Stephen Ross.
Yeah.
Who Jocelyn Benson used to work for.
Yeah.
Because it's incestuous. Her husband, Ryan Friedrich, was Duggan's right-hand guy, charge of raising money, I think, right? And he was one of the culprits mentioned in an OIG investigation, one of the culprits that instructed Duggan's staff to delete the emails, anything referring to the city.
Save the date, yeah.
And his mistress, who was running the nonprofit, date, yeah. The Save the Date, that Syed's apartment was funneling the money through. See how this works? Yeah. I've been around a while. I've been around a while.
It just feels so hopeless.
Okay. Now back to the dirt that
everybody
will ignore us on, won't help us. They want it to go away.
It's not going away.
And, you know, when Duggan said, oh, you know, it's just a couple of lots and they shouldn't cost more than 80 grand. I left more than enough money. It was a lie. There's no money. They are shit themselves in City Hall. I got people everywhere. Okay. 18,000. Put up this latest contract. By the way, we sniffed it out. They've kicked it, right? But I'm going to let everybody know. So this is one lot to take out the poison dirt, deposit it for real in a landfill, and then bring in clean dirt. How much is that, Mark?
100% blight funding, total contract amount, $92,880.
For a house that cost way too much to demolish, 25 grand or whatever it was. $92,880?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just call that 100 grand. And we've got, right now, they'll admit to 600 lots.
That's for one location?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Holy
shit. Well, no wonder they want to ignore it.
Uh-huh. Now, you know what I did?
I mean, realistically, where will this money come from?
Great question. Nobody will answer. Everybody's hiding. The only people I got an answer from were the Republican candidates for governor.
The debate that you moderated, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, John James wasn't there, man. I don't know, John. You better answer this, dude. If you want to be the main man, you can't leave Southfield and Detroit aching like this. So they committed to helping the people. As soon as Jocelyn Benson comes out of her badger hole, I'll ask, she got the money. She could pay for it herself. Right?
Yeah.
Fucking empty shell motherfucker. This is terrible.
Oy.
Yeah. Anyway.
Now I'm depressed.
That's the news.
Yeah. Jesus. Really uplifting.
Oh, come on, man.
I'm just kidding. Yeah,
somebody needs a news program in this town.
I'm glad.
You want me to crack jokes all day long?
It's Borden, but it's just...
You want me to crack jokes all day long?
Yes, I do. Yes, please.
All right, Michael Jackson time. I love your jokes.
Oh, great.
Got a new Netflix special, right? What's that called? Do you know?
Is it the, Michael I think it's Jackson, simply the trial of Michael Jackson? Yeah.
Yeah. Which I covered, folks.
Yeah.
It was 2005. I covered it. Well, I didn't really cover it myself. It was with the New York Times, LA Bureau. So this thing went on for 4 months. So the bureau chief, excuse me, John Broder, Nick, I forget Nick's last name, escaped me, and myself, we would rotate.
Mm-hmm.
We'd take like a week or 2 weeks because it was in Central California, right? Santa Barbara County.
Yeah, it probably took forever to get to, right?
It's beautiful up there. So I covered portions of it, like when he was dancing on the roof.
Oh, yeah. That was cool.
I was there. And I'm watching, like, where am I? I was like right there. I'm like, where am I? Like, I don't appear in this motherfucker once.
I know. That's funny. I was looking for you while I was watching it. What is the reaction amongst people covering it when that loon jumps on top of a roof and starts dancing?
Okay. We got to go this way. I've got to be honest. I'm not Diane Diamond.
Yeah.
She made her career on this and in this documentary.
Yeah.
She's pulling out the notebooks. I got life to live. I don't remember a lot of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm watching it like, oh, yeah.
But I mean, it's a circus.
Yes. Okay. So let's start with this. Like some jokes. I got to cover this, right? And we all, three of us, got to go up for the first couple days, right? Because it's the world event.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson.
Trial of the century.
This guy, like, how many childhoods does a grown man need? What did Drew say? He groomed the whole world.
He did. He groomed the whole world because he's a really good musician. Like, I still like Jackson 5. I still like some Jackson songs. I just this world of absolutism of he's either a monster or he's a genius. It's like,
he's a genius monster.
Could be a both. Yeah.
Oh, he did it. We'll get to that.
Yeah, he groomed the whole world in that
he's turned a blind eye.
He's a wacky artist. He's just eccentric.
Right.
He just loves children. He loves all children so much. That's why he's doing so much with them. I remember growing up going, that guy's weird. That's a weirdo. But I never once thought that he was masturbating to these children and masturbating them.
Not even when he was a $27 million settlement.
Well, when that, I mean, when that trials came on, the information came
not
out.
The
I just
trial,
mean,
but the
I mean, when I'm
that he settled with I mean, the kid well before the trial.
When I was 12, right? So that would have been 88. Okay.
Yeah.
He was still wacky as shit. He was weird. He had taken Emmanuel Lewis on a date with him and Brooke Shields.
Yeah.
He still had bubbles. I mean, you knew the guy was weird. Right. And that's what I think is implied by you groom the whole world. It's like, oh, that's just a weird artist. That's, you know, Elvis was weird.
Well, I just looked at it like I saw it and I'm like, he groomed the whole world. Mm-hmm. This is absolute fucking nonsense. Most likely, you know, he did. So
totally did
to me, it's another court. So, of course, it's Michael Jackson. Right. But I called my cousin. I was in L.A. cracked a beer. I go, OK, we got to workshop some material here. and I came up with some jokes, most of them original, not all. And I'm standing in line. It's got to be 500, 1,000 deep.
Yeah.
International press, like trial of the century. And I just start cracking the jokes, right? And it's like the BBC. Mate, it's totally inappropriate. Who are you with? And he looks at my press badge, the New York Times. Exactly. I'm just out there fucking cracking on it. All right. So,
you can fairly cover a trial and be inappropriate at the same time. Two things can be true.
Dude, being a reporter is the best thing in the world. Like, live it. You know what I mean? Like, I actually sat front fucking row. He would come in. I'm like, I need, you know.
Jackson, yeah.
Yeah, you know. You know me, man. Like, I need detail. I need something all these fucking clowns in here from the BBC and everywhere else isn't doing. So, number one. Remember he used to wear the Band-Aids around his fingertips and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Watch the documentary again and look at the state of his fingernails.
They're gone.
They're scaly and gone. Yeah, uh-huh. You know what? That's a classic earmark. Injecting dope under your nails.
Really?
Yeah. That's what the Band-Aid is. Adam, how did he die?
Yeah. Oh, no. He was a horrible.
Yeah.
A horrible opioid
addict.
Okay.
Why was he frail with the umbrella? Because he was high as fuck.
Yeah.
So
why did he go to the hospital during the middle of the trial and show up in his jammies the next day? Because the judge told him to get his ass there.
Yeah.
He ended up in the hospital. My guess is.
He was high.
He was high as a kite.
Didn't the documentary say that? Did he go to the hospital and they
injected? It was heavily implied. Well, they kept injecting because he couldn't sleep is what he said. So they kept injecting with more and more. And they're like, holy shit, look at this guy's tolerance. I mean, that's an addict, right? And it all stems from when his Pepsi commercial, when his hair burned on fire.
So like we'd all be seated at the lunch break, after lunch break, and then he'd come in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I wonder if that motherfucker's wearing a bulletproof vest. I wonder if that motherfucker's wearing a bulletproof vest. How am I going to do this? So everybody's seated. Michael Jackson comes in, and I wait around the corner from the metal detector, and I come in after Michael Jackson. He comes in, and he walks to the bar, you know, the swinging door. And I come up, I'm right behind him, and I put my hand right on his back, and I feel, and I go, fucking bulletproof vest, man.
Really?
Fuck. And when I put my hand on his back, he went, ooh, to which I wrote, apparently Mr. Jackson doesn't like strange men touching him either.
That's a great line. Or did you have to add allegedly to it?
Allegedly. I don't know. I have to look it up. We came up with some original material, some not, but most of it is. I just jotted down before we came up. Here's one. That's what I'm telling in line to the International Press Corps. I go, yeah. I met Michael Jackson before. And I go, where'd you meet him? I said, a Malibu beach. I looked up after I heard, hey, you're in my son. Hell. You know why Michael Jackson only wore one glove?
Why?
Got to keep the pimp hand strong.
Such a weirdo. You're on a roll. What else?
The morning of the trial, they found Michael Jackson's original nose.
Yeah?
You know, he reported it. It was in Macaulay Culkin's ass.
Which, by the way, Culkin, one of the reasons he got off on that trial.
Huh?
I think Culkin's one of the reasons Michael got off on that trial, was acquitted during that trial.
Yeah, because Culkin said everything was copacetic. He's the greatest guy in the world.
I think celebrity fame blinds people, too.
Well,
it's the kid from Home Alone, and there's the king of pop.
But I was there when Jason Francia.
Yes. Yeah.
He got the second settlement, $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
It was heart-wrenching. It was grown man just broke down and bawled his eyes out. He was the one, when he was masturbating him, they asked him, how long would it go for? And he said, a cartoon and a half.
Oh,
two
God.
Cartoons. That's a fucking kid
yeah.
who grew into a man and he's shattered. Okay. You know what cartoon? True story? You know what cartoon is?
No.
Woody Woodpecker.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Now,
not even a good cartoon.
I was there when Gavin Arvizo's mom.
Yeah.
You know, this wasn't a civil case. This was the criminal kid, Gavin Arvizo. And I wrote this too because I had gone back to LA. My shift was over, but you got to monitor it. And then I come back and I'm watching her. And I'm like, you just look at Jason, you know, the cavalcade of people, regardless of Macaulay Culkin and Michael Jackson's former wife, who was going to turn on him and then turn back. Yeah. I'm listening to this mother and they're making all these allegations. What he did, and then she's letting him fly anyway afterwards, after she says she knew from an event that she let her boy go fly off with him. And it was plain, dude. It was plain that you're a gold digger. Mm-hmm. You offered, all these people did, you offered your kid up to him because you were entranced by the money,
sure,
by flying to Berlin. Like, you know, he groomed
the lifestyle.
He groomed poor, broken families and riches and experiences beyond their belief. When you're watching this, you can't believe it, and you just say there's no credibility there. I'm firmly convinced he did it. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
But I understand why a jury wouldn't.
Sure. It seemed just from watching that documentary, it seems like it was a very poorly prosecuted case. I mean, like you said, Debbie Rowe flipping.
Yeah, when you bring a Debbie Rowe on and she's going to say Michael Jackson all these things, and then all of a sudden she doesn't.
And the fact that they showed the whole Martin Brashear documentary, which honestly, really good documentary, very entertaining. I mean, you're going to be entertained by it. Are you really going to pull facts out of it? You know, I don't know. I thought that was kind of a mistake. Bashir didn't help them on the stand.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the documentary so much as it was Bashir taking the fifth.
Yeah.
Why, and I can't remember why. Why did he?
I don't know if he ever came out and said why he
did. In the documentary, it doesn't really...
I forgot. Yeah, I think the belief is, and hopefully someone can correct me if I'm wrong, the belief is it would hurt his reporting, past and future reporting. Like if he really led this kid on in interviews, which he was asked about a lot, I think that was the viewpoint. I don't know why.
His methodology of gathering
would have been in question. Yeah.
Yeah. See, yeah. Again, I don't have the notebooks. I don't keep them. I
would rather have you report on the circus anyway.
What I have is a series of articles, the best of the stuff in the notebook. Mm-hmm. And that's...
Do you have any more jokes?
Oh, yeah. you're going to have to see this one.
All right, hang on. Let me adjust.
Okay.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
Lord, I don't know if I'd stand on that.
Okay. Right here. Okay.
Charlie's now standing on the desk.
You know why Michael Jackson's pants never fit?
Why?
They weren't his.
Visuals well worth it.
But seriously, they had a souvenir stand at Neverland. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, they had boys' pants half off. Yeah. Oh, here.
Wow, I'm learning a lot about the trial.
Okay, I learned this at the trial.
What's that?
Yes, Michael Jackson took baths with little boys, right?
Yeah.
But he never blew bubbles.
God. Bubbles, by the way, still alive.
Get the fuck out of here.
You want to see a picture of him?
Hey, really?
Yeah. He's living.
Oh, Bubsy boy.
He's retired in Florida. Hang on, let me get it up for the audience.
One of the things he knows.
All the things he's seen. By the way, it says on here, he does not like cameras. I can only imagine why.
Or being dangled out of windows.
Yeah. Look at that guy. He's living it up. Retirement in Florida.
So there's a chimpanzee preserve?
Yeah. That's where he is.
Maybe we should go check it out. It could be the Tiger King Part 2.
There was a Tiger King Part 2 with chimps.
Oh, there was?
Yeah, the guy that did the documentary did another one that was on HBO, Chimp Crazy or something. I think it's better than Tiger King.
Did I see it?
I think you did, because I think we've talked about it before.
See, that's the thing. How do you expect me to remember the Michael Jackson
trial? Because you're doing real work.
And I'm like, I don't even remember what I watched. Listen, you know what they served for bedtime snacks?
Whoa, what? No.
Neverland?
Mm-mm, I can't imagine.
Jesus juice and little weenies. You know what time, you knew what time it was when you went to bed at Neverland, don't you?
No, how?
When the big hands on the little one. And my favorite... Gotta make some room up here.
You gotta laugh at this stuff.
Dude, it was so
it's crazy.
Morbid. What else could you do?
No, I love...
All right. Give me the wide shot here.
You're on it.
For those of you just listening in your car, sorry.
Go to YouTube, go to Twitter.
NoBSNewsHour.com.
Yep, it's all on there.
Yeah, just go there. Okay. Can you hear me, Mark?
Yes, I can.
Okay. What's the difference between Neil Armstrong and Michael Jackson?
What? I have no idea.
Neil Armstrong was the first man to walk on the moon. And Michael Jackson raped little boys.
Well worth it for the visual.
Looking back on it now, maybe that BBC guy was right.
Well, both things can be true. You gotta laugh at dark shit.
What were you telling me? I see you're the pop culture king here. You brought up Emmanuel Lewis.
Oh yeah, when he
I never met him, but I met Gary Coleman.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've had dinner with Gary Coleman.
He was running for governor
of California.
Yeah.
See, everybody gets the inspection. He didn't run a health department, mind you, but he did work as a mall. Cop,
yep, security guard. I remember he jumped out of a car.
He beat a woman up at the mall because she complained he didn't sign the autograph right. And the judge made him go to anger management class, which angered the little man.
He was an angry man.
Yeah. In his adult life, he was still shopping in the boy section. I'm serious. You can find that in the New York Times.
I believe that. Yeah.
Shit, that was a...
Did you like hanging out with him?
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. That was that weird government race, wasn't it? Wasn't like the porn star Mary Carey, wasn't she in
that
race?
Yeah, it was the recall.
That's right.
What's the fucking governor's name?
Brown? Was it Gary Brown?
No.
Was it after that?
Yeah. Anyway, that was cool. I had dinner with Rodney King.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he drink?
Huh? No.
Good.
See, I wrote there, Rodney King lived the American dream, which is he got a lawsuit, got a million, moved into a big house, and subsequently smaller and smaller houses. He was like, you know, he's having trouble with the PCP and shit. And I had gotten a hold of him, and I had to drive way out to his little house in the desert, you know, interview him.
Yeah.
And then, who is it? Yeah, it's Charlie from the New York Times. Who? Said Charlie from the New York Times. We had an interview. Well, Ronnie ain't here.
You can hear this too.
Up at the door. This I knock on the door, and you hear this.
Oh, a walker?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in bad shape later on in life. That's the other part of his American dream is he ended up on reality TV.
That's true. Mm-hmm. See, there you go, pop culture king. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I go, Rodney, I know that's you. I know your voice. He goes, Rodney, not here. Now get. So eventually he cleaned up a couple months later because it was like the anniversary, yeah. Maybe. And he was such a good dude.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can kind of understand why he'd have a habit, might have a drinking habit.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know.
I get it.
Sucks. Again, I'm American, you know. Yeah. I'm Michigan all the way. I get it. But he was a brilliant guy. He was smart, funny. He was low-key, soft-spoken. And we were just talking, and neither of us could understand how such a beautiful thought at such a horrible moment is now a joke. Like, can't we all just get along?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No better words have been spoken.
Yeah. It seems like the answer was no.
I'm just not going to agree with it. I'm just not. You stand up for yourself, mm-hmm. Speak your mind, but I think we can. I considering everything, we do a pretty decent job. Mm-hmm. The whole world's here.
Yep. You know what helps? Michael Jackson jokes. So we can all laugh together.
Yeah. But anyway, I wanted to ask you about the, was it the Casio family? I don't know anything about this.
Yeah.
Is that another settlement?
Yeah, multiple settlements. The Casio family, five kids. One girl was involved. One became his
friend. At what time? Was it after Arvizo? After the trial?
During all of it.
During the trial?
Their father... managed the hotel where he would always stay in New York City. So when 9/11 happened, for instance, you know, Jackson famously was in New York and tried to rent a car and was going to drive cross country with Elizabeth Taylor, which God, I wish they would have.
Wow.
But instead he stayed with this family for about 4 months, the Casio family.
In New York City.
Yeah. Well, they lived in Jersey across the river, but yeah. So
what exit? Yeah, just whatever.
You're going to keep quizzing me till I get something wrong. So they, you know, defended Jackson. They spent a lot of time with Jackson.
He stayed at their house in Jersey?
He would show up. Anytime he was over in New York, he would just show up. A lot of times at like 2 in the morning with Bubbles, which like, I don't want to be woken up by a chimpanzee and the King of Pop in the middle of the night. But they defended. They were on Oprah talking about how he never treated us poorly. You know, this is after his death. They're still holding
after the trial, after his death. Okay.
Then HBO, what about 8 years, has the documentary where people like Wade Robeson, there's another guy too, came forward and said, yeah, we testified in that trial too, but we were lying. We were molested as well.
Wait, who are the Robesons?
Wade Robeson was a dancer, became a choreographer for like Britney Spears.
Okay, so they're separate from the Casio family. There's more separate people coming.
Yeah, so they see that documentary, and then one of the kids sits his family down and says, you know what? Same thing.
Casio kids
sat with his family.
So they see this Roberson guy in a documentary.
Yes.
Okay.
And realize.
And they say, okay, we can drop the pretense.
Yeah, this happened to me. And then the brothers were like, this also happened to me. And they realized, we were all molested, but we all kept his secret. The family paid him off. The family had an NDA with them for 5 years. The problem is...
Okay, so this is like 2009?
This is about 2019 when they paid him off.
When did he die?
2009.
Mm-hmm. So
that documentary was like 2018, then 2019. They go to the estate, and the estate's like...
And the family pays him off. Why? Yeah. Because they're talking?
Yeah. Well, they were afraid they were going to.
Well, so the family knew?
Yeah, at that point, yeah.
How would the family know?
Would know what?
That Michael Jackson was molesting a bunch of young brothers, a bunch of young kids.
Well, they compared notes.
No, you see what I'm saying, though.
How did the estate know?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Maybe they did threaten to sue. And then, you don't settle unless you're civilly sued, right?
Okay,
for the most point. And then you get this NDA. I forget how much it was. I want to say it was about $750,000 a piece, you know, paid over 5 years. Problem is that 5 years runs out when the biopic's coming out, and they did not want them talking. And so last I heard, they were kind of negotiating that, but then they went on 60 Minutes Australia and spilled everything. So
when did they go on 60 Minutes Australia?
About 6 months ago.
Oh
yeah.
Oh, so
yeah. But a lot of, you know, his fans are they are vicious, and they will defend. And so they've been attacked since then because, you know, one of them's a girl. So it doesn't kind of fit the narrative that he molested only boys.
All these people are lying. I don't believe the trial.
I don't believe it. And just because he makes good music doesn't mean people are going to try and get money out of him. It's just, once again, both things can be true.
I got so much hate when Prince died.
Yeah.
I go, he's a great artist, but his shit ain't going to last like Michael Jackson's. No way.
Not like Jackson's. Well, no.
No, because you hear Michael Jackson's all the time.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Prince occasionally.
Yeah.
Plus, he had the Jackson 5 era.
It's funny. Artists can do bad things, right? And you can separate it. Like, look at R. Kelly. People still love R. Kelly's music. Chris Brown, not a good guy.
Is that even an argument? Like, Jackson's. This is really... you just hear some Michael Jackson music come out, and you're like, damn, man. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't know. Jerry Lee Lewis, I like his music. You know what I mean?
And nailed his cousin. And yeah. Elvis, right?
Elvis.
13-year-old. It's
Chuck Berry.
Yeah. I mean, you can like the art and realize that a bad person made it. I don't know why that's so hard for fan bases to accept, but...
I mean, that's why a lot of bad people are artists. That's, you know, there's something different inside of you. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So... I don't know. I want to go back and look at your stuff and read what you wrote about the trial, because I do find that trial very entertaining.
Yeah,
I probably shouldn't, but I do.
I'm going to rewatch it again. But yeah. What's it called? I think it's on Netflix. The Trial of Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
I'd get into this Guthrie thing, but yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I mean, I'm not surprised that she's dead. I mean, most people thought she was, but then to demand ransom for a dead body is...
Well, I'm not surprised she's dead, and you guys got wind that she was dead, and you just led the public on this whole ratings bonanza.
Yeah.
Harvey Levin at TMZ made the FBI a deal.
I know.
We'll be the go-between to make a documentary.
I know.
And he goes, the FBI stiffed me. I don't know why. It's because you're a whore, Harvey.
Exactly.
What a fucking duh.
He's a smart whore. I'll give him that. He's pretty
brilliant.
All right,
listen, everybody. See you next week. And I got back to you. Thank you very much for your well wishes. My family very much appreciates it. Thank you, Mark. See you next week.
Mm-hmm.